Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to the Charmaine Show on Blog Talk Radio. It is a wonderful, gorgeous evening. Happy Wellness Wednesday. Very rarely do I record a show in the evening time, but I'm super excited about today's show. And today we're going to talk about communication in relationships. And I'm very excited to talk about this because as we think through the relationships that we're in, and this is just a little bit of overflow with a little bit of twist, of course, from the last show. It's definitely not a part two, but a few things triggered because a lot of times we can get in a stalemate when it comes to relationships as it relates to how we communicate, right? And how effective that communication is. So I'm going to jump in today, and I want to say again, welcome to the Charmaine Show on Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Charmaine, and I hope you had a wonderful day. Mine continues because it is totally blissful, a gorgeous overcast and rainy evening in my neck of the woods. So when we think about communication and relationships, we have to remember that in order for your relationship to sustain any kind of longevity, you have to figure out how to communicate effectively, right? Because ineffective communication can begin to snip away at the relationship confidence. And once you start to lose confidence in the relationship, what happens? It starts to go downhill. And so we communicate in many ways. We communicate on a spiritual level. We communicate on an emotional level. We communicate definitely on a physical level with our spouses, our significant others. And for the sake of the show, I'm just going to say relationships and significant others because you can run it anyhow you want. But I want to focus in on more of our intimate relationships with the significant people in our lives. So how to communicate more effectively? Number one, ask open-ended questions. So many times in relationships, we find that, you know, we just kind of just like start talking. We're already shutting down the other person on the other side of the room because we just jump right into it. We're just more concerned about how I'm feeling, and we're not asking open-ended questions. But I do recognize that different of us have, you know, our spouses run the gamut of talkers and no talkers, right? More people are closed and more people are open. So with that being said, you have to pick up on the nonverbal cue. If you're with someone who isn't great at expressing or even asking you and being open to you asking open-ended questions where they may have to dig a little bit deeper, they may have to think, they may have to be open and honest with you so we're not asking those questions. And when we do, sometimes they can shut down, right? Because they don't want to talk about their feelings. They don't want to talk about what's going on. They don't want to talk about something as simple as their day, whether it was a great day and shedding some positive light on it, or whether it was a lousy day where so many things could have gone the opposite way of what they wanted. So that's to bear in mind. Ask open-ended questions, but when you do, bear in mind that you may not be able to pick up on verbal cues because they're not talking. So you have got to learn to pick up on nonverbal cues, right? Which is that energy, right? Because when I think about that, I mean, think about it. You can't heal the cause of your emotions
right, by shouting or getting even or even withdrawing, right? So you have to, the verbal cues and nonverbal cues, and there's such a thing, well, the way I call that energy. So if you were someone, take some time to understand what their energy flow looks and feels like depending on the situation or circumstances that they're in. I know for my husband, if he is in total thought mode, this is not the time to ask, hey, do you remember, what about? No, this is a time to give my partner space to think and to work things out, because he is a thinker. He's detail-oriented. I've had 23 years of record-setting, making things happen. So over time, you get to know and get to understand. You know, when finances are impacted, it's not the time to say anything. Like, literally, it's like cave time, right? So sometimes you've got to be a mind reader. But you also have to remember that you're not a mind reader. And it's okay if you have a spouse or partner that is withdrawn. It's okay to ask, right? I've learned that one of the things I picked up on, right, is not so much to ask, how are you doing? But I've learned, and this is most recently, to think about another way to ask a question in order to get the feelings and the emotions and the answers, just get that person to open up. Because a lot of times when we're communicating, we want to hear ourselves talk. I am that girl sometimes. I can be. So asking the right type of question and how you phrase it is going to be critical, right? So what I've learned to do, instead of saying, how are you doing? How are you feeling? Because it's usually the answer is a pat answer. I'm good. All is well. You know, today was good. Things like that. Instead, I've learned to start asking, what are you feeling? What are you feeling? And I'm learning that with my kids. I've learned, because I learned when I put it that way, it opens them up, right? So if I ask, what are you feeling? I need to know that I have set that time aside to listen, because you are going to hear, what are you feeling, right? And remember that the fourth thing is, conversations are a two-way street. Unlike, not everybody has a blog talk show, right? So you have to remember that when you're having a conversation, there's asking and there's a time to listen. There's a time to talk and there's a time to listen. I am, like, literally, my hands are raised, 100% guilty of sometimes just wanting to get myself out of the way. Here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I'm feeling. Here's what I want to talk about. Okay, so now have you heard what I want to talk about and what I felt? And by then, the person is totally shut down, you know? And so you're not going to have a conversation reciprocated because you're afraid of silence and time to think and time to formulate a response. The other thing I actually want to mention in how to communicate more effectively is scheduling time. Now, if you're with someone, you live with a person, your spouse, your partner, whatever it is, your significant other, you are there, you got to schedule time. Now, I know a lot of people, I have a lot of friends that are dating, long-distance dating. They don't live with the person that they're seeing, different things like that. Whether you are dating, long-distance, short-distance, married, not married, shacking up, being with someone, You have to schedule that time. It may sound a little bit, why do I have to schedule time to talk? Yes, because I've often said, and it's been 23 years, when I walk in the door after coming home from work, don't bombard me with stuff. And I've said this to the kids. I've said it to my husband, because I know when I walk in the door, it is my haven. It is my peace. It's my security. I feel like a blanket just enfolds me. And all I want to accompany that blanket of welcome is when they run down the stairs or come down the stairs and say, oh, hey, Mom, give me a hug and ask me, how was your day? It gives me a chance to step back, smile, and quickly reflect, how was my day? So I'm open about that, and I get that out, right? It's usually typically, I had a great day today, and then this is what happened. And it's a 5 to 7 minute, and how was your day? So there's this 5 to 10 minute debrief, and then it's like getting it together, get my feet up, turn on my jazz if it's not on, different things like that. I need that space. So that's not the time to talk about the mortgage or school or things like that, unless it's a burning issue, something that's urgent and immediate. Otherwise, they know I need an hour. And so now, whether it's after dinner or whatever, it's like, okay, I'm ready now. Let's talk about this. Or knowing that when you're ready, let me know. So it sounds like, it may sound like, why do I have to schedule time? But if you're going to talk about something and then you are going to have a conversation, a two-way conversation with your partner, it's important to know when is the right time, right? When is the right time? And sometimes you may need to set a date outside of the home to talk about different things. You could be talking about your love life. You could be talking about your sex life. You could be talking about home, family, and the kids. You could just be talking about current events. You could just be talking about you're just shooting the breeze and scrolling through social media together and having a wonderful time. Conversation with your partner doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be some heavy-duty issue that we're dealing with, and let's talk about it. Because if you go out on a date, you have to talk, you have to communicate, you have to interact. You know, find out when that person is most available. I mean, most times when I leave work and I'm thinking through what we're working on, what we're feeling, what we're dealing with, you know, it could be something very simple. But I know a lot of time, face-to-face, sometimes it can turn into like the worst thing. Even if you just ask a question like, well, how was your day? You know, or whatever. And then you start talking about different things and your views on different things. And before you know it, you could end up having an argument. And then it will be like, I remember when this happened 20 years ago, all of that stuff. So I know that when I leave the house and I start thinking about things, I will have to text my husband and say, hey, honey, don't forget to da-da-da-da, you know, or, hey, I was just checking in how that was going. So basically, I'm dropping keywords without him feeling like I am demanding or determining how he will spend his day or time, or then undermining, will he get to it or not? So it's a keyword reminder, but it's usually in a nicer way. Now, I will tell you that I've learned that, and I will tell you that I am continuing, we are who we are. I feel like it's in my DNA. So I keep getting called on that even more often than not, right? So schedule the times. Make sure that your spouse, your significant other is available, right? I even got a message from a dear friend, and it really was, I don't want you to just talk to me. If you wish to have a conversation or even an argument, it should be based on logic and facts, right? So sometimes when you come up with something that you want to talk about, make sure that you've taken every thought captive, right? And that is based on logic and facts.
Because a lot of times we can be wrapped up in our own truths, right? What's going on in our heads, what I believe and what I think. This is what you did. And now you're assuming that that person had ill intention when that was not the case at all. So a lot of times you have to start off your conversation with being specific about your needs and, of course, being honest with your intention. It shouldn't always just be what I think you, right? It should be I feel this. This is what I feel. Own it. Own your feelings. Own your emotions. This is how that made me feel. When you said that, it made me feel like this. Well, this is actually what happens when you go live. So there might have been a little dead air. I am actually live, and I had a snafu with my communication. But hopefully this would have picked up back on the show, and we are going to continue. A couple more points that I wanted to make, right? So I was discussing being specific about your needs and your intention, right? So what do I need? Not necessarily what do I need from you, because a lot of times as we're communicating with our spouse, our significant other, when you express your needs, they may feel a little bit overwhelmed, like, I can't meet that. I can't be that person for you. And so they're starting to feel a lot of pressure that, oh, you expect this from me, and I don't have this in myself. So I say this to say that it's very important in a relationship. I digress just a bit, that you have two whole people coming together, right? Not one person necessarily looking for something from the other person, rather than feeling and being a complete person of working on your own self, knowing that I have this to give. This is what I am here to do. So if both people interact within that relationship as if they are there to give something to each other, then you'll find that you're communicating in a better way, right? So being specific about your needs doesn't necessarily mean that you're or that onus on the other person to sometimes be something that they're not or to give you something that they themselves don't have. You know, just bear that in mind. I think one of the other effectively in a relationship and understanding that communication is critical, it's important. You don't have to tell every single thought, every single thing, especially if it will not contribute in a positive way to that relationship. You don't have to say everything that you think. It doesn't have to be your first thought. If it is going to edify the relationship, meaning the person, they're learning something about you, you're giving them something from yourself, and or you want to know something or more about them, because relationships and communication will go as much as the two people put into it, right? Your relationship will be as strong as how well and effectively you communicate. And like I said in the beginning of the show, communication is not only what you speak. It is your nonverbal cues, meaning the energy. It is how you communicate with each other in a physical, sexual, romantic, intimate way, right? And I use all of those words, and I will cover it all by saying intimate, because there are some couples, what if you have someone who is physically unable to sexually satisfy the other partner? Does it mean that you don't communicate in an intimate way, right? or find ways of meeting each other's needs sexually and physically. You can get into another show with that. I'll have a professional sexologist on the call on the show. However, there are many creative ways to meet those needs and to communicate with each other. But once again, verbal communication around that also needs to happen, right? There is, I believe, that, and this is my thing, it's a maximum 3-hour rule. It sometimes doesn't go that long. Say 3 minutes, but not in communication because you could blow a gasket. 30 minutes is good. That's kind of like my top. 3 hour is perfect. But when you start to get into that 2 days, 3 days kind of stuff, some people go for 3 months, 3 years before you know it, it's 30 years, and you've had something on your mind, in your heart, some unfulfilled desire or quiet reservation or bitter root start to grow up, and you probably may look back 10 years, 20 years, 30 years later, or 3 months later and regret. Of course, if anyone is that upset at someone, there's no way that you're not going to regret, right? So, and regret that, wow, for this little thing, why didn't I bring it up? Why didn't they bring it up? And a lot of times, it's too late because the relationship has been so damaged and it's so hard to repair something that is so damaged. You know, when you have something that's broken down so much, you discard it, right? And sometimes when you discard it, you're literally thinking, I wish I had that. So don't let a lack of effective communication ruin your relationship, because it could be a very simple thing that you can talk about and be about. So make sure if it adds to your relationship, if it adds to your personal growth, right, emotional, spiritual, even physical growth, that you are bringing that up. And when I say physical, it could just be anything. Sometimes we have couples where one person may struggle or have issues with their weight or insecurities around different things physically. You have to talk about those things, right? Because it's important for you to understand my partner enjoys me just the way I am, right? But you have reservations and you never brought it up. Or the other person has reservations and they haven't brought it up, right? So back to my 3-hour rule, and that's what I will say. Try not to let 3 hours go by before you bring something up that you may feel so strongly about, right? Or any strong emotion. It could be anything. Open up about it. You can sit with it. Sit with it. Take every thought captive. Make it obedient. Sit with it. Process that feeling first. Process the feeling. Timing is everything. Remember that. Timing is everything is my next point. Now, I don't know what number I am, but timing is everything, right? So make sure that when you sat with it and you've given your time and the opportunity to process your feelings, make sure that you've given your partner the same space, right? And then check back in. Is this a good time for you? Just because you're ready now, and you're resolved and you feel good in your space, your energy's reset, doesn't mean that the other person is at that point. So it could be face-to-face. Just imagine if you live with a person, thank God for technology, you can text. You could probably even FaceTime if you're not in the same room. And if you are in the same room, in the same bed, in the same space, remove yourself from that space for those maximum 3 hours temporarily. Don't sleep on the couch or whatever, but work it through even if you have to go to bed later, right? So work it through, because one thing I know, and this is definitely, and I can only share and speak for myself, I never go to bed angry because I couldn't sleep. I can't sleep. There's got to be some kind of a resolve. You may not necessarily resolve the issue, but you resolved your energy, your spirit. You've communicated, you've kind of talked it through or talked about it or let go off of it. And you may need to pick it up the next day because it could be something you're working on that needs some steps or action plan or whatever it is. This doesn't necessarily have to mean it's a big argument or conversation or whatever, but make sure that you've reset your energy within those 3 hours and check in with your partner, all right? While you do that, the other thing I actually want to just mention is making sure that you set boundaries and limitations. How much are you going to vent and how much venting will you allow, right? You have to set those boundaries, right? If you'll argue and you swear and whatever when you argue, right, you have to set those boundaries. I know for one of my boundaries that I set, if Clea wants, I leave the door, that's usually my husband's like resetting on it, and then he'll call, and I put the phone on the car seat, and I'm hearing that there's a lot of loud venting going on. And I will tell you, that would interrupt my energy space, but at least he has a chance to my mind, right, to get it out. Because by the time I come back home for lunch or home during the evening, it's like, first of all, that you've probably blown up the phone. So now if there's something that we need to talk about, if it really is, let's get right down to it, right? But venting, you don't want to do that much at all. It's normal. It's natural. It happens, you know, but you want to make sure that there is less venting going on, conversational talking, right? So be sure to contribute in a positive way and make sure that this is something you agree on. Necessarily have to agree on every single thing, because if you do, reminds me of that movie. What's the movie? Coming to America. Whatever you like. Well, this is not a whatever you like sort of scenario, right? We're all individuals, but we have to all come to a compromise and a solution when you have a conversation or you need to have something resolved. So with that being said, I just want to say, hey, listen, when it comes to communication in relationships, connection, right, whether it's your partner, your parents, your significant other, if your relationship is going to stand the test of longevity and to feel fulfilling, communication in all the ways that I've mentioned is going to be important. Understand each other's love language, each other's personal style, and spend the time to understand the energy flow. Spend the time to understand the energy flow of your partner. So this is Charmaine on The Charmaine Show. It's a wrap on Wellness Wednesday. Have a great day.